Object.
Good, Mr. Chairman, did we have Kim come up and explain that for Ben Moses?
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, I don't have new number six.
Number six, new number six?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Tim Benintendi. I'm staff to Representative Moses. And Amendment 6 would extend an entitlement benefit to unorganized communities that are within boroughs, and a benefit currently enjoyed by those outside of boroughs. It would not increase cost to the state because the funding would come from within the program. There would basically be about 65 communities added to the pool of those eligible. So in short, that's what it does. It would make all unincorporated communities eligible for an entitlement, or a minimum entitlement under the revenue sharing program.
Any questions for Tim, Representative Lancaster?
If I could, Mr. Chairman, one other concern that's come up that we didn't get addressed in here, but speaking with the League and others, that the Senate apparently is willing to stick in this if we don't, and that is to add the borough, add in here someplace in that first language section. I apologize, you know, wherever it would fit appropriately, so that the money would flow rather than to an unorganized community at present through a borough to that community. Help with that.
Through the chair, Representative Lancaster, I'm not sure what the desire is of Representative Moses on that particular point. We can certainly add that provision if we decide that's what we want to do.
Representative Mulder.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To the sponsors, these communities currently receive nothing under municipal assistance and safe communities.
Yes.
Is the amendment supported by AML? If it's supported by AML, why didn't we do it the last go-round? I'm trying to remember when we changed it from municipal assistance to revenue sharing to safe communities. Because I'm asking just purely out of naivety, I don't know. It appears that it dilutes the pool by about 1.6 million. If there are about 60 communities times the minimum entitlement of 25,000, that'd be about 1.6 million, 1.625.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mulder, I believe, it's my understanding, the impact would be about 300,000. And
160.
60
communities?
65 is the number that I think we're certain of. It could be as many as 70.
65 times. I still get 1.6 million, don't you? 25,000?
Yeah.
Is that what you get, Representative Croft?
Yeah. What are we missing, Tim?
Representative Mulder.
And to the sponsors, does this also, if it affects municipal assistance and safe communities, does it also affect them with capital matching grants?
To my knowledge, we would, no. No, they would just go to the base amount, Mr. Chairman, the way I understand it.
That's what I thought.
Incorporate.
Evan, do you want to roll?
Could we get Bill back here?
Bill Ralston.
Please state your name for the record.
My name is Bill Rolfson. I work for the Department of Community and Economic Development. Funding for the unincorporated communities comes out of the municipal services account within the revenue sharing program, and that's the same account we pay for road maintenance and health facilities and so on. So there is no minimum entitlement. The statute says it's 25,000 per unincorporated community, but that fluctuates with the appropriation level. So based on this year's funding, these unincorporated communities, if they became eligible, would be getting the $3,681 per community. And initially we thought, without Section 2, our original estimate would be that there'd be approximately maybe additional 60 or 70 unincorporated communities. But with Section 2, where there's that qualifier where they have to be providing these services within the community, our rough estimate is probably maybe more like 20 or 30 unincorporated communities would qualify under this amendment, 20 to 30. So you'd have to multiply that by the 3,681, but they would then become eligible for the capital matching grant program for unincorporated communities at 25,000 per community.
Okay. Let's be conservative and use 30.
Okay, 30.
That's 750,000. So it does have the net effect of about $1 million draw on the total amount. Does AML still support it, do you think, Representative Lancaster?
Sorry?
Does AML still support it, Representative Lancaster, with that?
I'd have to refer to Mr. Ritchie.
Mr. Ritchie?
Mr. Chair, thank you very much. Kevin Ritchie with the Alaska Newspaper. We have not addressed this issue formally as an organization, and obviously you've hit on the plus and the minus of this, but as an official position, the Alaska Newspaper has not endorsed this as something that they hope to add to revenue sharing. We've discussed it. It has pluses and minuses, and the organization hasn't made a decision.
Any other questions, Representative Hudson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In all of these cases, what I try to do is to measure the new money that's requested essentially through this means against the existing funding in the budget. And I wonder if anybody could tell me what kind of any of these elements covered in the operating budget as we have we just passed it out already?
No.
So this is a total new consideration. And it's an increment that would come out of the assets of the permanent fund.
I would guess,
yes. The way I would read it.
Earnings of the permanent fund. Reserve, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, on that.
Representative Whitaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Then the bill is roughly $59 million, if I'm not mistaken. So this would add $1 million to that, or this bill would be deducted from that $59 million and distributed to cities other than... or unincorporated areas.
That's correct. The amount would not increase. It would just be reduced within to those communities.
And Mr. Chairman,
Representative Whitaker,
if I might, is this the repealer to Amendment Number 2 then?
Yeah.
That would be my question, and it seems to be at odds with Amendment Number 2. If it's not, I'd like somebody to explain to me why it's not.
Representative Lancaster? Pardon?
I can't explain the difference between the two. I apologize.
I think, Mr. Chairman, I respect, I was just making the same comment to Representative Bundy, that they're not necessarily at odds. What it does is send an inconsistent message. On one hand, we're trying to encourage them to incorporate or to become a city. On the other hand, they're going to say, hey, if you don't, we're going to keep on giving you more money. And that's the inconsistency, Representative Lancaster.
Any more discussion on this motion? Not, we'll call for the question.
President Hudson.
Oh.
President Lancaster.
Pass.
President Moses.
Yes.
President Whitaker.
No.
President Bundy.
No.
President Kraft.
No.
President Davey.
Pass.
President Foster.
No.
President Harris.
No.
President Mulder.
No.
President Williams.
No.
Representative Lancaster?
Yes.
Representative Davies?
Yes.
3-8-8-9.
Motion's defeated. Amendment number 7. Mm-hmm. Representative Hudson.
Mr. Chairman, I would move adoption of amendment number 7.
Object.
Why? This is a simple little amendment. Mr. Chairman, can I just go ahead and speak on here, since I believe the sound is okay? Mr. Speaker.
Not this year.
Well, I thought maybe I'd get your vote. I don't know. Mr. Chairman, this seems to me to be one of the, perhaps the only place to where One element that the Fiscal Policy Caucus has homed in on making up a substantive portion of the billion-dollar fiscal gap. This would be, if adopted, the amendment that would begin to, first of all, reestablish the distribution of the permanent fund to a percent of market value, and then, second of all, to establish a 5% payout, which is something that the Board of Directors of the Permanent Fund and the Department of Revenue and many other trust experts across the nation have indicated is the common practice to ensure an annual inflation proofing of around 3% of the permanent fund itself. The bill also statutorily, not constitutionally, but statutorily, fixes a distribution stream of that 5% payout to be 50% to the dividend program and 50% to the general fund. And because we're dealing with House Bill 20, the House Bill 20 would be paid out of the 50% that goes to the state. So the dividend would get 50%. The general fund would get 50% minus the money that would be paid under the primary bill itself. This amendment is introduced to give certainly the permanent fund strength, and I think that the market value concept goes there. I believe it'll create stability long into the future and to get away from the ups and downs that we've been experiencing with our permanent fund dividends and the income from the permanent fund. And I believe that it fits well into this particular bill because this is, in essence, a dividend to the general fund from the earnings of the permanent fund and a division of the earnings. So I believe that we'll be able to actually acquire good distribution of the assets or the annual earnings of the permanent fund across two different major boundaries. One is that the dividend will continue to find strength and will have a good substantive a source of funding. The 50% will be fixed in law, and admittedly it could be modified sometime in the future, but as some of my friends have indicated in the past, that you know, once you put something like this in law and it really addresses to the dividend, it's pretty damned hard. Watch myself. It's pretty hard. yeah, that is one strike. Right. To modify it without the public notice. By the estimate of the 5% payout, now we have switched over to the 765, which has been expressed by most of the hearings that we've had of recent date, at any rate, seems to be the best estimate of how we can go about doing this thing here. And that means that of the 50%, it would be, first of all, the total amount of money would be a 7% distribution of the earnings of the permanent fund of the total market value, which should produce something in the neighborhood of about $900 million, both to offset the deficit and $900 million to be divided by the number of resident Alaskans that receive the dividend to produce the dividend. The dividend, according to the runs that I've seen, and don't hold me to these exact figures, but the dividend would be very, very close. First of all, there'd be no change in the dividend in 2002. It's essentially what we're dealing with right now. And in 2003, the permanent fund dividend would be something in the neighborhood of about $15 to $30 less at the 7% payout, at the 7% distribution, than what it would be under the status quo. So let's make no mistake about it. The bill will affect the permanent fund dividend, as will the status quo, if we continue to drain the constitutional budget reserve. We will not only see a diminished but somewhat secure permanent fund dividend, we'll see the elimination of the permanent fund dividend program. So I introduce this as a way to continue the permanent fund dividend and to give it strength and surety, and at the same time to begin to provide for some recurring revenue makeup for the lost oil revenues that this state has, and the elimination of the constant draw upon the Constitutional Budget Reserve. Again, with the understanding that the Constitutional Budget Reserve is a finite amount of money. Very little new revenues are coming into that. That's the fund that was established by disputed oil revenue litigation. And most of those litigated disputes have already been settled. And so the Constitutional Budget Reserve, which is down at the end of this fiscal year to $2.4 billion, is obviously going to become, if we don't make some changes, some systemic changes here, is going to become the cash cow for the general fund and ultimately, as I said, the elimination of the permanent fund dividend. So even under the 5%, we were looking in 2003 at a $633 million, even at the 5%. At the 7%, it's closer to about $8.5 to $900 million in dividends as well as into a makeup here. The we've had it the language made up so that it it does modify the title in that it would following dividends relating to the market value of the permanent fund and the distribution of the income of the permanent fund. And I simply want to make one final last assertion here, and that is that this concept at a market value concept, percent of market value with a fixed distribution, with a fixed sharing of that distribution, with an accommodation for the municipal dividend, as we have it before us, in my way of thinking at any rate, makes this bill a significant piece of this body's effort in trying to begin to fill the revenue gap so that we are not going to be faced with extremely onerous taxes or the elimination of the dividend. Mr. Chairman, that's what this bill does, and I would be delighted if we could pass this today and make this a part of the bill.
I contacted Tamara Cook on this these issues, and Tamara said that House Bill 20 can be either a bill about permanent fund distribution, or it can be a municipal services with adoption of Representative Bundy's amendment. There would be a single subject problem if we did this amendment, and it'd be challenging the court, and we'd lose both good bills, two good bills that we know are good bills.
We know they're good.
Two good thoughts on this.
We did discuss this.
Your good bill was talked about yesterday in by the Senate Corporation. I think Representative Moses, the House Bill 20 right now, would be challenging. We may lose them both. And I don't know if that's worth the risk or what have you. Representative Moses?
Yeah, I'd have to propose this amendment. I think the sponsor is calling it the right thing, and he's calling it a bill.
Yeah.
That's something that should
be amended,
and a separate bill and deliberated on that basis.
Representative Mulder?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I truly appreciate the spirit and intent of the amendment because I tend to support it. I think there might be some tweaks that perhaps you and I, Mr. Chairman, would like to see in relation to a portion of the stream going toward infrastructure as well as toward the general operation of government. But my vote no now doesn't mean I don't support the concept. I think we have another vehicle in the committee to accomplish that. So it's not no, it's just not no now. And so I fully intend to work on this with Representative Hudson, Representative Williams, and whomever to accomplish this, because I think this is a pretty important component of the overall package.
Representative Davies.
Yeah, I couldn't quite hear you when you were talking about your objection, and was it your statement that this is TAM's assertion that this would be a single subject problem with the adoption of Representative Bundy's amendment?
Yes.
So without the adoption of Representative Bundy's amendment, there would not be a problem?
I don't know about that so much. Yeah, yes. Representative Kropp.
I don't know whether he was done or he's just thinking about it.
At ease?
At ease.
So I'm not recognizing him?
I call a...
It worked beautifully. Oh. Yes.
2 minutes. Another at ease. Yes. Call the committee back to order. Representative Hudson?
Mr. Chairman, in light of the constructive dialogue and some concern about the legal constitution of the bill with the title primarily, I'm going to withdraw Amendment number 7 at this time with the understanding that I'll have the opportunity to present it on a perhaps a more appropriate bill tomorrow or within the next few days. And with that, I request permission to withdraw the amendment.
No objection. Ordered. We don't have any more amendments that I see right now. I mentioned at the beginning of the meeting that it's not my intention to move this bill, but we will bring it up again sometime, maybe Monday morning or maybe Saturday afternoon.
Have we had public testimony on it? I know we had limited available.
Yes, we had
available.
Public testimony.
Way back. Okay.
We had public testimony on this bill, and we can have more on it tomorrow.
I just want to make sure we hadn't missed that step, but no.
And if the committee so chooses, we can talk about amendments again on this bill for the future date. Is there anything more to come before this committee?
Tomorrow's schedule, Mr. Chairman?
Tomorrow's schedule. Glad you asked. Starting at 9 a.m., we're going to have public testimony on revenue options. And this isn't just on these bills, but we can discuss them. Education tax on unemployment, state sales tax, permanent fund income, motor fuel tax, income tax, cigarette tax, alcohol tax,
soda pop tax,
dog tax, any tax that anybody would like to discuss on a public hearing. And the public hearing will go for as long as we have. Representative Mulder.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Perhaps if starting at 9 in the morning, if we hit a lull in the afternoon, say 2 or 3 o'clock, there's a lull, perhaps we should take a break for a couple, 3 hours to allow people who are working during the day to have the opportunity to come at night. So perhaps if we take a break then until 6 o'clock and take some testimony then tomorrow night, if people so choose. That having been said also, Mr. Chairman, we are going to be working in subcommittee to try and flesh out the details on the sales tax bill during the course of the day so that we can have a CS back to the committee as soon as possible.
Representative Davies.
Thank you. Maybe instead of having it tomorrow night, what about considering opening up a period on the weekend?
Well, hearing?
Just for the public hearing.
Well,
I think, Mike, and the reason I say that is that I appreciate that, but the idea of having this public comment has come up pretty short notice, and so there are going to be some people who may be available tomorrow, and there'll be other people who just might not.
Well, we could play it by ear. I mean, I don't know how much we're getting out. I think we're using the media right now to spread the news that we are going to have a public hearing. Hopefully that they will come out. And if it, Representative Davies, I think if we get a strong urge from people on Saturday afternoon, or Saturday morning, in order to get a bill to the floor on Monday, or bills to the floor on Monday, we've got a lot of work to do. It took us all afternoon to get through five amendments. Representative Davies.
What is the intent, then, in terms of procedure to deal with? And specifically, I want to know, I have a bill that's the motor fuels tax issue. Do you, at some point in the day tomorrow, are you going to want me to present that bill slash amendment?
Maybe what we could...
How do you intend to handle that?
What we could do tomorrow is talk about all these bills that we have listed, or at least so that the public will know what we're going to be talking about, and hopefully that'll go that way, yes. We'll treat it like a regular public hearing. All of these bills, we'll have the sponsors come forward and talk on these bills for a very short period. And hopefully we won't have any questions, but we'll get it out to the public, to that Representative Hudson.
So, Mr. Chairman, then, following the discussion we recently had on the amendment I just pulled off the table here, will we formally have the permanent fund dividend, the permanent fund, I guess, what do you call that, Jim? Will that be formally before us so that we can entertain a motion to amendment? Okay, that's good.
It will be formally before us on Friday.
No, I appreciate that. Tomorrow, Friday? I lose track.
Tomorrow is Thursday.
Okay.
I think it'll be before us Friday. If not, we're going to talk on it anyway. Any other
questions? Mr. Chairman, can I say one thing else? Well, first of all, let me compliment the leadership of the Finance Committee for what I think, at any rate, is a very constructive approach here to try to resolve these issues. To suggest I know we're targeting Monday for, you know, the final product out there. And let me just tell you, as one member of the majority, I would be perfectly willing to accept Tuesday or Wednesday if necessary, because I think that the product, again, as I indicated on the floor of the House today, is so significant that we want to make it right. And so we'll pursue the path right there down with you, with the understanding that if we don't get it all ready to go by Monday, that if Tuesday or Wednesday were the next day,
well, we're trying, and we're going to try to keep our word to the public, and we'll see if we can do that. We're close. I think we can do it, with maybe the exception of the sales tax. I don't know. Any other questions on tomorrow's schedule? And Friday is going to be, we're going to be taking, we can go into public hearings that day too. But any discussion on tomorrow's schedule or anything else? Nothing else come before this committee? This committee stands adjourned.